Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything Goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
I'm Agnes Hewitt.
We're back to a Friday schedule. I have my Jasmine Diptyque candle burning. And I have my Marianne 2024 hoodie on because it's still cold outside.
It's cold out here, too.
I'm enjoying the temperate weather for as long as we have it, because in the last week there's been all these newspaper articles about how this summer is going to be the hottest ever, which of course every summer will be the hottest ever for the rest of our lives. So, the chickens, as Reverend Jeremiah Wright once said, are coming home to roost.
Didn't Malcolm X said that?
Oh, you're probably right. I just knew it as the Jeremiah Wright speech that got in trouble for. That makes sense.
I think the reason he got in trouble is because he was quoting
him. All right. Well, I stand corrected. Look, you might be a millennial if you think that quote was Jeremiah Wright.
I mean, I don't know. He was, who knows who said it first. How are you?
Good. Excited to do the pod, and then I'm excited to, I have my Friday afternoons, if I get my work done before Friday afternoon, I get to take myself out to lunch, which is exciting.
Oh, I didn't know you take yourself to lunch.
So occasionally, because Fridays, if I don't have to work Friday afternoon, I've sort of made that the time of the week where I get, edit my little newsletter and send it out. But other than that, I don't have anything on the docket, so I might drive over the hill to Highland Park and go to the old plant butcher and get a vegan chicken parm.
Wow, that sounds nice.
Or a vegan French dip. I haven't quite decided yet.
Well, yeah. Either way. What do they make the vegan French dip out of?
The thing with this place, it's called Maciel's Plant Butcher, and their shtick is they do all of the fake meat in-house, so it's it's not full of whatever chemicals and preservatives. It's a mix, because they make things, so it's soy and peas and jackfruit or whatever. They have different sort of percentages of different things to make each meat sort of be as true to the source material as possible.
That's cool.
It's cool. Every time I've been there, I've enjoyed it, but it's always with all this vegan stuff, there's so much sodium in it. So after you eat it, you do feel a little
bloated.
Yeah. But I've been craving a chicken parm, so I might do it.
You got to do it then.
And then after that, John and I will be seated in row D, Dolby 715 for Challengers, the new tennis threesome movie.
You are going to have so much fun. I'm so jealous. I wish I was going to the movies. I'm not.
I might even wear a little tennis inspired outfit.
Oh my God, so cute.
A little headband.
I support it.
Yeah. What about your thick in the writing process for school?
Yeah, I'm writing, but I'll be done in 2 weeks and then I'll go to the movies. Actually, I may go see Abigail on Sunday night.
I saw Abigail last weekend.
Was it fun?
Parts of it were fun. It's a little neither here nor there as far as gore, because it's like R-rated, so there's like a lot of gore at the end, but then I didn't find it very scary. It takes a while to get going. My friend that I went with liked it more than I did, so.
And I
wish they didn't give away the big twist in the trailer, because it would have been a fun...
Yeah.
I won't give it away on the podcast in case people haven't seen the trailer, but...
The trailer. It's like the kind of the premise of the movie.
Yeah, but like it doesn't happen until over like halfway through the movie, so it would... If that was like a fun reveal 45 minutes into the movie, it would be so cool, and you'd be like, oh, fuck. But we were all spoiled. Anyway.
Interesting.
I think I gave it a full 2 stars on Letterboxd, if anyone wants to check out my Letterboxd.
I'll check.
Other than that, let's see. I made my health nut lentil loaf this week.
How was it?
I enjoyed it. The amount of nutritional yeast looking at the recipe is super crazy. It's like you put in 3/4 of a cup of nutritional yeast for 1 lentil loaf. But I think like cooking it, it mellows the flavor. So you get a sniff, like you sniff it and you're like, ooh, that's that nutritional yeast smell. But when you're tasting it, it's really not overly strong. I liked it. John choked down a few bites and then he asked me not to serve it again for him the next day.
Okay.
So, you know, mixed reviews.
Mixed, I see.
I have the other half of it is in the freezer now, which Jess Damuck says you can keep it for up to 4 months in the freezer. So I'll eat it at some point.
We'll eat it at some point in the next 4 months.
And then the other thing I made this week that I actually really recommend to, you know, omnivores and vegetarians alike is the Smitten Kitchen Taco Tort. Which is, it's basically just stacked enchiladas. So you like, you cook beans and spinach and corn and tomatoes, and then you take tortillas. I used like whole wheat tortillas, and then you stack it with the bean mixture and cheese. I did a 50-50 mix of real cheese and Daiya oat milk cheese.
Huh.
Just to like cut down on the dairy, but I didn't want to freak my husband out for a second time this week.
Yeah.
And none was the wiser. He and I both enjoyed it. So
nice.
Those were my culinary adventures for the week.
Yesterday, Brian and I went to a true old person's Upper East Side event, which was a lecture about Ralph Waldo Emerson at the New York Society Library.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, I mean, I was bored, but I wanted to see the library because it's like this nice old private library.
Is Brian a big Emerson head?
No, it was also the library more than Emerson. I mean, we just wanted to go to the library.
What is his philosophy? Is transcendentalism?
Transcendentalism.
I think I was one of those books that I was supposed to read in either high school or college, and I never read.
I never read anything by him. He's like an essayist, and all of his essays apparently are like just these like long, like non-narrative screeds where like each sentence is like its own or unique thought relating to his transcendentalist philosophy. I don't know. It sounds really boring to me. Obviously, people love him. You know,
was the library at least pretty
gorgeous? Yeah, it's like it's like a really beautiful, whatever, 270-year-old like library that like, you know, every like famous old white man ever was like a member of and stuff.
Did you go out to dinner afterwards or before?
We went to dinner after. We went to a place called Tacombi, which is just this like little like Mexican place.
Oh yeah.
Like a chain. It's good. But on my walk home, we were in like the very, you know, the real Upper East Side, not like where we live, like where the rich people live. And of course, I was looking in everybody's windows and I saw front and center a Silver Palette cookbook just like sitting on a shelf. And I was like, okay. I was like, that's an original Silver Palette cookbook.
What a dream.
Can you imagine? These houses are so, I just like, I die. I'm like, how do you do that? How do you get in there? That's what I want
to. I'm trying to think, in all my years living in New York, I don't think I ever was even once like went to a party or something in like a Fifth Avenue or a Park Avenue, one of those places. Not even once. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Someone needs to develop a vegetarian version of chicken marbala.
Just do it with corn.
Like corn on the cob?
No, the fake chicken.
Oh, corn. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or do it with any fake chicken. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I could just do it with some Impossible nuggets.
Yeah, just do that.
That's true. Don't need to overthink it.
Don't overthink it. Just replace. Just do one-for-one replacements. They say you can do it. Take their word for it.
Yeah, there's like a new, or it's not even that new, like all vegan market on Fountain in LA that they have. I haven't been there yet, but they have all that stuff. And it's like they only supply from companies that are 100% vegan. So it's like very hardcore.
Oh, wow. That is hardcore.
It's called Besties. Besties Vegan Paradise.
Oh, I know. There's the Besties on, oh God, where is that? It's like next to, it's like where, fuck.
It's like where Fountain. That. It's by Scientology. Yeah.
It's, yeah. It's been there. It's been there for years.
Yeah. I guess I'm very new to, the world of vegetarianism, so I think I'm just discovering places that are not new, but to me they're new.
I just know because there's like a couple of restaurants over there that I used to go to because I used to live.
Yeah. Oh, it says since 2019.
Yeah.
We went to Found Oyster there, and then you got COVID.
Found Oyster.
Zaffy's, of course.
Zaffy's. And then I also really like, there's like a brunch place that's right there that nobody ever talks about, but it's really good.
Square like One.
Square One. Yeah.
Yeah, that's been there forever.
Yeah.
Let's see. There was in Gwyneth news. Oh, wait, no, I want to talk about actually something before I talk about Gwyneth. This is just on my vegetarian beat. There's a restaurant in LA, a prominent plant-based restaurant called Sage Bistro.
Yes. And
did you read about this?
Did, and I was disappointed because Sage has been there since I was a vegan in Silver Lake.
I'm sad. Like, I don't really go to any of these places. I don't really pay attention to any of these places. And now, so this place, yeah, like you said, it's been vegan forever. They're changing the menu, adding quote unquote regenerative meats and dairy, grass-fed beef, bison, eggs, cheese, and then of course it's resulting in backlash from PETA and social media, specifically the super crazy vegan subreddit, which
you love.
I'm obsessed with. It's my favorite thing to read on the internet right now.
Yeah.
So Eater did a whole like article, and I'm of two minds. Well, I'm actually, you know what? I don't like the way that they're framing it. They're framing it like the people that own Sage. So the woman who's actually the daughter, she's a vegan Nepo baby. She's the daughter of the person who owns Cafe Gratitude.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
But I thought Cafe Gratitude was owned by like a cult.
I think this is, the dad is the head of the cult, I mentioned. Okay. So yeah, her dad owns Cafe Gratitude, or maybe like her dad bought, I don't know. Maybe her dad wasn't the original owner of Cafe Gratitude. But they own it now, that one and Gracias Madre.
Yeah.
And so, but she married an omnivore, a guy from Oaxaca. And he, I guess, philosophically is opposed to veganism because he says it's not natural. So they're sort of compromising, and they're really into regenerative farming, which according to her is you sort of need the animals on the farms to have like a self-sustaining farm, which makes sense really. Cause you're not getting you know, then you don't have to import fertilizer, you don't have to have pesticides, all this stuff, if like there's, you know, cows grazing and pooping and stuff. So that's their reasoning behind it. But I think they're not being honest, because really the reasoning is, you know, all these restaurants are struggling, and if you open your menu to like a wider audience, you'll get more people to come. And but they're not saying that.
I mean, I think that's obviously what it is. Also, like, veganism isn't maybe as popular as it was, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. I, like, when I lived there, there were so many vegan restaurants, and I felt like everybody was kind of vegan. Moon Juice was kind of around there, and that was very popular and cool at the time. It was just a different time. Now I feel like everyone is, like, a carnivore, or like only eats like 12 eggs and like a thing of beef every day or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's that people, and then there's just the sort of like, I think the LA like skinny diet used to be like vegan, and now it's more sort of like paleo and low, I guess, carb. So you have the people that aren't like ethically attuned to veganism are not going to do it necessarily for like aesthetic or health reasons,
right?
And I mean you know, I'm not by any means a vegan. I'm just a regular old pescatarian, which is really sort of not trendy and very retro, but
very 90s.
Well, I could say I follow the Mediterranean diet, which is basically, I guess, what it is, right?
Yeah, you could say that.
I don't know. Anyway, I do want to go to this place. I want to go. Like, there's the other place, Elf, that's also in Echo Park. There's all these, and I'm like, now I want to go there before they close, because it's so sad that like all this vegan culture is dying.
It's okay. Veganism will never die.
Yeah, there'll always be the diehards. All right. Oh, so Gwyneth, have you heard of this magazine, Cultured?
No.
Apparently it's been around for like 10 years. It's one of those fake magazines that these rich people just like start that make no money, but
fake magazines. Like, my dream, I've said this before, but like, Brian is from this small city in Louisiana, and the rich people there have their own magazine. I think it's called like Bayou Living or something. I
love it.
And it's just like everybody's like, you know, Christmas decorations, and, you know, they'll go into like one of their houses and show like their curtains or whatever.
Yep.
And I'm always like, Brian, we need to like give up on this life and get out there, go back to Louisiana and break into like your town's like society and get
the debutante scene. I mean, every little town or like place, like when I grew, where I grew up, in Contra Costa County in Walnut Creek, there was a magazine like that called Diablo, because it's like Mount Diablo is like the mountain right there. And it's the same thing where it's like the rich people that you went to high school with, their like parents would be in the magazine and like have like photo spreads, or like there would be like weird like charity auctions at like the like weird like regional center for the arts. Yes, and then there'd be like restaurant reviews.
Yeah, restaurants, and like, also these people are always like starting restaurants in the town.
It's great.
And then like going to it with each other, and then they like, there will be some set in his town. It's amazing though, because like there is literally always a massive sex scandal that like rocks the society. And I follow this stuff so much. Like, I'm obsessed with like all of like the businesses in his town, all of the like town leaders who are like the wealthy business owners who end up like in a gay sex scandal like twice a year. I love it.
It seems like the same type of town. I mean, it's bigger, but like, what's the one where the guy killed his old family and there was like a gay sex scandal that I think was in South Carolina?
Oh, the guy,
the like weird redheaded guy.
Oh, that guy had a gay sex scandal?
His son did. Because there was the one, the like gay teenager that was one of the victims, but it turns out the son was maybe sleeping with him.
That was the older son who, yeah. That was the one who he didn't kill. Because the younger son, the younger son killed someone in a
on
boat.
A boat. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because he was like drunk and like driving around crazy in a boat. And then a bunch of stuff happened. And then for some reason, the dad like killed the wife and the son.
Because they figured out that he was like losing a bunch of money. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't really remember why. I watched the like HBO thing about it, but then I guess I forgot everything. And then there was, yeah, that younger, the older brother also is like, they think killed this guy that they found dead in the middle of the road.
I can't tell you what this family's name is, and I'm sure everyone listening is screaming. But I'm not going to look it up. Anyway, Gwyneth was on the cover of Cultured magazine because they released a list called the Cult 100 of the 100 most, I guess, iconic or influential people in culture. Yeah. And Gwyneth not only made the list, but she, I think there's like a few different covers. Like she was on it. Tiana Taylor had a cover, and like Bowen Yang, I think, and maybe one other person. So yeah, they released there was like an interview. I was like, Gwyneth doesn't do this many interviews with this caliber of magazine. So I'm sure that she like is friends with the editor.
Something is going on.
Yeah. So they ask, let's see. Oh, it starts talking about the night of the Oscars. When Gwyneth congratulated her Iron Man co-star Robert Downey Jr. on his Academy Award. And there was like a Instagram story, and then people took screenshots of her laptop screen that was visible on social media. And people were, I don't remember this, but I guess people were obsessing over the different Safari bookmarks on her laptop, which included New York Times Cooking, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and Goop, of course, but also Expensify, Looker Studio, which is a Google data visualization tool, and RTR Diligent, which is a software that governing boards use to communicate. So I think she's into some government contracts or weapons manufacturing. Who knows?
Like to be. I think that it was staged.
It has to be staged. Nothing. She's yeah.
I think it's like when Obama pretended he thought the mic wasn't on when he said Kanye was a jackass.
Oh right. It's his
like
her sister soldier moment.
Yeah, it's like he knew. It's like she knew that someone was gonna see that.
And then they go into Goop. You know, Goop is 16 years old. And oh, they're comparing today to 2008. The vibes are still very much bad, perhaps worse than they were before. So we clearly still crave her self-assured guidance and blissed out lifestyle. What's
I thought the vibes were pretty good in 2008.
You would think, yeah, that seems like
I mean, they're better than they are now, for sure.
No question.
I mean, that was the year of hope and change. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just because of our age, but for me, I remember like the Obama administration, like the first year of when Barack Obama took office, it was like the world is healed.
I think there was also like the financial crash. I think we were maybe a little too young.
The financial crisis.
We were a little too young to like have like a stake in the world of finance.
We did have to kind of graduate into a recession.
I mean, speak for yourself. I am a few years older, so I graduated into a Iraq war boom. A weapons extravaganza, a new gilded age in Manhattan where I could make a shit ton of money being a concierge at a hotel. But that only lasted for a few years.
Yeah, I think by the time I graduated, there was nothing. There were like no jobs. It was really bad.
So they say arguably one of Paltrow's greatest feats has been commodifying many things that were once considered free. Recommendations, orgasms, and now peace of mind. And they talk about moments of space. I think this is going to be a losing venture for Gwyneth. I don't I mean, but nothing. I guess she always ends up on top. I just don't hear anyone in the wild talking about moments of space.
I don't like the tone of this piece.
I was sort of surprised because I thought it was gonna. I mean, it is basically a puff piece, and she was interviewed and she was photographed for it, so she obviously okayed what they were saying. But it was a slightly more critical than I expected.
Yeah.
They talk about AI, and of course, Gwyneth not only doesn't fear AI, but she welcomes it.
Of course she does.
I mean, she lent her voice to Speechify. I did buy that. It's been buffering the last few days, which is annoying me. I don't know if it's something to do with my Wi-Fi or the program, but like, it hasn't been working seamlessly.
No, and it's always it's funny because it's like Gwyneth's voice, but then it'll be like
they'll glitch. It's really funny.
It glitches out, and then I always like have a little laugh, but it's sometimes just like, you know, I can't take it anymore. I can't read any more of this shit.
Yeah. So she talks about AI. People are so scared of AI, what's going to happen to how scripts are written or how music is written. But I do think that on some level, we are spiritual creatures. We crave that deep resonance that happens when someone's spirit or intellect or the combination of those things touches you and makes you think outside the box. I think there will always be a need for that. So, word salad.
Yeah.
And then she has a very revealing outfit on, a low-cut Miu Miu dress. You can see quite a bit of good old-fashioned titty. Good for her.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. She looks great, as always.
Yeah.
And then they talk about, you know, the Gwyneth Goes Skiing musical, which I still sort of want to drive to Park City in May, but now I did get tickets for the Joanna Newsom concert that same week in LA, so I don't know that I'll be making the pilgrimage out to Utah. But I'm sure it'll come to LA at some point, and then I'll watch it.
Yeah.
And she says she doesn't read magazines. She says television, kind of a sad state.
Ooh, why?
Which, I mean, I can't disagree with her. And then she talks about, oh, this is sort of funny coming from her. I would love there to be a return to self, she says.
What does it mean?
Well, she says not in a narcissistic way, but everybody gets such a barrage of incoming stuff all the time that I think people become disconnected from themselves. There's a lot of anesthetizing that goes on in the culture. People don't want to feel pain or discomfort, which unfortunately is part of being human. I feel like everybody's getting pulled around on a leash by culture right now. All of the shoulds. I wish for a return to a really robust inner life.
No, I, again, don't know what that means.
I get what she's saying, like, as far as like us, like people are on a spiritual journey, and maybe with like social media or like the constant barrage of like stimuli. But I think this is just another sort of way for her to sell her meditation app, basically. I think everything she does is cynical. I've really become a Gwyneth hater.
In a good way.
I don't know. I think I might have turned the corner on her in general.
Wait.
I mean, it's okay. I still want to continue this podcast, but I'm just saying for now, for you and for the people listening, I might have become more of like a straight ahead Gwyneth hater. We'll see.
Sorry, Brian, like that's not okay.
I mean, yeah. I can only be true to myself. And I think maybe the, her trying to use TM, she still says she does it once a day and then monetize it and create her own thing. That was really maybe the last straw. I don't know. She's wishy-washy on everything. She's wishy-washy on her diet. She's wishy-washy on her spiritual practice. Well, yeah, no, I know, but...
And you're wishy-washy on your spiritual practice, too. She's just a normal person.
I don't know. We'll see. I might feel, you know, talk about wishy-washy. I might feel differently next week. Who knows? I'm just saying how I feel now. And I'm not impressed.
All right.
We'll see. All right. Any other news?
Not
I have me. More. I have more Gwyneth stuff and more actually other stuff, but it all was just on my list because there was nothing in the newsletters this week. So
yeah. All right.
So I guess we'll just move on.
Yeah, I'm starting to get depressed just thinking about some stuff that's going on, but it's not about you, don't worry.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm just all I could be is being honest and being like this sort of constant monetizing of everything. Of like, I don't trust anything she says anymore. It's like that dinner party, like small talk conversations that she keeps peppering into all of her interviews. I'm like, you know that this is some sort of business venture. Nothing this woman does. I mean, it's sort of like Oprah at this point where like, it's all in service of her making money. And I'm sure it has been for her whole career, but maybe I'm just a little slow on the uptake and a little naive, but it's getting to me in a way that it hadn't before.
Interesting.
I just had to get that off my chest. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay. What was your best of the week?
My best of the week was a personal decision.
Mm.
I was like, okay, I decided I needed a break from Hungry Root.
Mm.
Just every once in a while, I find myself just being really like uninterested and uninspired by everything. And the gluten-free of it all has kind of been like weighing me down because I feel like it's always like it's a lot of like gluten-free versions of, you know, rice noodles and bonza and all this stuff, and it's like that's good, but it's like I want to focus on more of just like eliminating instead of like replacing.
Oh, isn't that sort of the opposite of what people say to do when you start a new diet, is like focus on replacing rather than eliminating?
I think they say like add instead of subtract, but like, I think that a lot of those like gluten-free versions of things are like less nutritious and more calorie dense. And like, I don't know. Yeah. So I was like, I'm just going to take a little break. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I, you know, briefly considered, of course, the carnivore.
So that's off the table now.
Yeah, it's off the table. It really only lasted for like a couple of days. It's just when I look at those cutting boards and they're filled with like mangoes and like Greek yogurt with honey on top and a steak, I'm like, that looks so fucking nice. But no.
It would look nice. It would taste nice for a couple of days, but I think you would feel, I mean, everyone's body is different. So maybe some people actually would thrive on that type of diet. But I feel like you would feel so heavy. You would feel so bloated. You'd feel so constipated. I guess unless you're just like eating literally a dozen mangoes a day.
Well, I'm not going to do that. So anyway, I decided, you know what? Right now, I'm just going to crack open a book that I've never really used before, even though I've had it for many years. I'm going to start cooking and I'm going to use a cookbook called The Clean Plate.
Ooh, wait, which one's The Clean Plate?
It's like the one where it's like the like cleanse one.
Okay. And that's all gluten-free?
It's all gluten-free.
Exciting. What?
So I have my menu open. I'm going to try, this one is called the Fat Buster or something. Because at the back of the book, there are all these different menus. And it's like this one, there's one that's for like heart health. This one is called, there's Fat Flush, Heart Health. And then there's one for if you have candida. And then there's one for heavy metal detox. Maybe I should do the heavy metal detox one. I think I'm going to do the Fat Flush and see how I like it. And then maybe I'll move on to heart health and possibly heavy metals.
I literally forgot that this cookbook existed. I own it because this is a Gwyneth. Yeah. When you said The Clean Plate, it didn't even make a connection with me that this was a Gwyneth cookbook,
because most of them are called like It's All This, It's All That.
This was during, I mean, this was 2019, pre-pandemic, But this was when she was really going through it. Like, this is her most disordered cookbook.
This is her most disordered. This is, yeah, because this one, I think she's got interviews at the end with, oh man, who was that cardiologist who said the lectins are killing you?
Gundry. Stephen Gundry.
Yeah. There's like a Gundry interview. This is, yeah. There's like Ayurveda is like heavily referenced in this. It's like, it's quite sick. It's also one of her most inaccessible ones. Like these menus, I'm definitely not going to be able to do these menus the way she prescribes because it's just impossible. So this is the menu. Monday, breakfast is a veggie scramble. Lunch is a nori roll. Then you have a sheet pan chicken curry. And then the next day you have a seed cracker with egg and avocado. For lunch, you have a teriyaki bowl. And for dinner, you have Peruvian chicken cauli rice soup. Then you have completely different things every other day of the week. So I think I'll just make like, maybe I'll pick like 2 days. I'll do like Monday and Tuesday and just like get through and have like two recipes going. And then I'll move on to like Wednesday and Thursday. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That, I mean, unless you literally have nothing else to do all day, to cook three meals a day from scratch is unsustainable.
And as we know, I currently don't even cook one.
Are you the type of person who can have the same thing for dinner, like multiple nights in a row and be okay with it?
Not really. See, I could have like, maybe I could have, like, I could have my leftover dinner for lunch the next day,
but
I want to have like a different, like, I'll, you know, like, I want to have something different.
I get it. Yeah. I think because my, and I, you know, I've, you know, made, you know, cooking part of my weekly routine, but I do, I'm okay with having the same dinner two or even three nights in a row. So like what I usually will do is if I can cook a big thing two nights a week, like a Sunday and a Wednesday maybe. And then so Sunday, Monday, possibly even Tuesday, I'll have the same thing to eat. And then Wednesday I'll make something new. This is all for dinner. For lunch, I am doing like classic meal prep on Sunday and having it last at least through Thursday. Whereas, you know, Friday, you know, is my free for all day for lunch. Mm-hmm. And then breakfast, you know, I just have like yogurt or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you don't mind alternating, like you said, and doing just two big meals, cooking them at the same time, and then doing like a Monday and then having something different on a Tuesday and then going back to Monday on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That might be better for you.
Yeah, I'll just do two, then I'll just like, and then I'll do it again. And especially, I mean, right now it would be impossible because I'm just too stressed out. I like can't right now. I have to kill myself every day, but maybe like in a couple weeks I can get started.
And then breakfast and lunch, you should just do one. I mean, unless you really are just home all day, like just make breakfast should literally just be thrown together, obviously. And then lunch, if you can deal with it, just make a big batch of one thing and have the same thing every day.
Yeah. Maybe I'll play around a little bit. Cause like, do I really want to have a nori salad roll every day for lunch?
That sounds really good to me.
Here's what we got.
What's in it?
One avocado. Oh, this serves two.
Okay.
One avocado, juice of one lime, four sheets of nori. I think it's just that like the nori, when I try to do anything with it, it always gets like soggy and disgusting.
Yeah.
Three quarters of a cup finely chopped lettuce, one medium carrot, julienne, of course. Half a cup of chopped kimchi, four mint sprigs, six cilantro sprigs, and coconut aminos.
So no seafood.
It's vegan. Gluten-free. That's very light. There's really not a lot in it.
But it's something that you could have all the ingredients for and then assemble every day.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, and honestly, because I'm such a lazy sack of shit, I probably would just get like the pre-sliced carrots, chopped lettuce.
Yeah,
of course.
Oh yeah.
And just like, it's actually this is what I'm talking about with Goop, where people always act like it's so crazy. This is like a pretty cheap thing to make. If you eat this for lunch every day.
Yeah. And if you want more protein, I mean, it's not vegan, but add have a can of tuna or a little salmon or something with it. And it's, tofu. Yeah.
Or even tofu. Oh, this is actually, you make a special coconut amino sauce. You don't just, it's coconut aminos, more lime juice, grated fresh ginger, sesame oil, and sesame seeds. So it's like a little sauce kind
Yeah. of And you
thing.
could even, again, if you want to cut little corners, I'm sure there's like some sort of gluten-free Asian ginger dressing that you could buy pre-bottled, and so you don't even have to
You're
make that.
probably right about that too. Yeah, because I am such a lazy piece of
No,
shit.
and that's not lazy. It's like, it's just being a human being. And like, sorry, sometimes those pre-made dressings are better and cheaper. 'Cause like, if you're making them yourself, you're using your fucking grazza, you're using the fancy rice vinegar. And like, to sometimes making a thing of salad dressing from scratch, it's like the equivalent of like $20.
You're so right. Oh my God, it's so true. It's so true.
And yeah, I mean, you might have to deal with a few stray seed oils here and there if you do a bottled dressing, but I think we're all past the whole
I'm
seed
not
oil.
afraid of,
No.
unfortunately, I'm not afraid of them.
Well, this sounds like a good project. I think I mean, I you know, finish up with school, and I mean, I love helping people trying to figure out times and schedules to cook, so I would be more than happy to your personal coach.
Thank you. I might even make the veggie fucking scramble. I don't know.
Yeah, what is that like? Is that like tofu, and then you add like that?
No, it's eggs.
Oh, it's real eggs. Okay.
And this is also really easy. This is just scrambled eggs with half a cup, with 1.5 cups of baby spinach, kosher salt, black pepper, and four and half a cup of sliced scallions.
No beans.
Nope.
Oh, because Gundry says no beans.
Well, you know, there are a lot of different, but I mean, it's so simple. It's like there's
Yeah.
nothing really to it. I mean, these recipes are so crazy simple. I might replace the nori with a what's it called? Like a rice paper thing.
Oh, yeah.
Even though those are very hard, and every time I try to use it, it's like a total shit
They're
show,
tough.
but
I mean, you could even replace it with some, you know, like a low carb, gluten free, like cassava flour tortilla. Like, there's lots of things you could
There's
do.
lots of things you could do.
Even a
Okay.
slice of Ezekiel bread.
Put it on bread.
Oh, but that's not gluten free. What am I talking about?
It's not, well, there's gluten-free bread, but yeah, no. And then let's just see the sheet pan chicken curry.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tea, it's curry powder. Yeah, it's all the stuff for curry. It's yeah. And then chicken breast.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Wow! Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Cauliflower. It's just curry powder, garam masala, ground turmeric, ginger, coconut oil, chicken, cauliflower, onions, cilantro. That's it.
And,
honestly,
and you're okay eating animal flesh now, even with the bird flu scare?
Oh my god, yeah, I'm okay with it.
All right,
this is like the most simple thing.
Yeah, I think you can do it, but you're just gonna have to come to terms with the fact that you might have to have the same meal more than once.
I can have the same meal more than once. It's mostly just that I hate like doing dishes and cooking, and also because I'm usually like literally having a panic attack, and then I just like don't know what I'm doing, and then I'm like, oh, and then I'll just like throw shit together.
Yeah.
But this is the easiest rest. This is the easiest thing. Okay, I'm gonna do this.
It sounds great. I really am very curious now to know if I own this cookbook.
I know you do.
I wouldn't have not bought one of. But I'm sure I like never opened it or even definitely did not cook any recipes from it.
No.
I'll have to crack it open.
Yeah.
Okay. My best was The Hollywood Reporter sent a reporter named Ingrid Schmidt to the new In Goop Health, and she reported on it, so we can talk about it, which is just great because we wouldn't and couldn't and didn't go or even remember that it was happening.
Never will.
No. Let's see. So she opens by saying, Gwyneth Paltrow kicked off her 11th In Goop Health Summit April 19th to 21st at the upscale Park Hyatt Aviara Resort in Carlsbad. So I guess they opened a Miraval spa in this resort. So that was sort of the occasion for them doing In Goop Health. The keynote.
I don't even know what that is.
Miraval is like, it's like a famous upscale spot, I think in Arizona. Like, is it in Sedona? It might be like in or by Sedona. And it's just like a very famous, fancy resort spa that people go to like, you know, bliss out or like, I guess it's not like a rehab, but it's like on that continuum.
Okay.
The keynote featured Justina Blakeney, the founder of home decor band Jungalo, and entrepreneur Emma Greedy, who works with the Kardashians. She co-founded Skims with Kim and Good American Denim with Chloe.
Okay.
So Gwyneth interviewed her, Emma Greedy, and asked her, you have these super famous sisters who are incredible at understanding the consumer. Is there a risk there? I think about this for myself. Like, how do I grow Goop to not be reliant on me? How do you think about Skims without Kim? Blah, blah, blah. And
that's an actually good question.
Isn't it a good question? I mean, and it's relevant to Gwyneth's career. It's actually, yeah, a really good question. Greedy says, you can't anchor a business around a personality alone. If you want to be a brand with staying power, right? Because we all know that celebrity currency goes up and down. You're like in one bad movie, have one bad boyfriend, whatever it is, blah, blah, blah. I come from a product background, and I think what we've done time and time again is create best in class products. So yeah, she's just saying like the product has to be good. Like The Rock has that incredible tequila, Terra Mana. Have you heard of this? I've never even heard of this.
Yeah.
I've heard of the George Clooney tequila. I've never heard of the Rock tequila. I'm always looking at white space opportunities. Often with brands, there's a generational shift, right? It's like everybody used to buy their knickers. I guess she must be British. Everybody used to buy their knickers from Victoria's Secret, and now they don't. So this genius is like, hey, Kim, want to fucking make this thing called Skims? And now, because no one under 40 is buying Victoria's Secret anymore. When people think about, and then she goes off, when people think about AI and they say they don't like it, I'm leaning in. Like, what can I learn? What's going to be the new arbitrage? What is, I'm sorry, I don't know what, I'm dumb. I don't, what does that mean, arbitrage?
I don't know.
Arbitrage definition. The simultaneous buying and selling of securities, currency, or commodities? What?
These this people, is not, it's not a word for us. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
These people are talking about AI. I'm scared now that all of these rich people are like, please welcome our AI overlords. Like, we need to get on board or we're going to be like shot in the street by robots.
We're fine.
Okay. Okay. So then the article goes on. Over, of course, a curated array of Goop merch was peddled at the event. The hydrating water cream, the G-Label $625 hostess dress, a $24,000 Hermes Birkin bag, Foundry necklaces, and yes, vibrators. Stations offered astrology readings, ear seedings, B12 shots, red light therapy, matcha, blah, blah, blah. Purely Elizabeth granola, which is like, sorry, you can get that at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And then they had other speakers included couples therapist, Dr. Stan Tatkin, and grief expert Claire Bidwell-Smith. Let's see, there was yoga, there was Reiki. Oh, and then Gwyneth did her Ask Me Anything session. This is like so like North Korean evening news.
Yeah, scary.
So some of the questions. What are you learning lately? I'm currently learning Italian and started with a tutor. My Spanish actually confuses it because I speak Italian with a Spanish accent. Okay. Gwyneth, come on. And she says, in the future, I'd really like to learn how to bake sourdough bread. I've been reading a lot about how real sourdough kind of turns bread into a superfood. So that's what I would like to learn next.
Okay. I mean, I am aware of this kind of philosophy. A lot of like anti-carb people are still very pro sourdough for some reason. Yeah. I don't really understand.
I mean, all the anti-seed oil people are always like
sourdough
only because it's like because they're so sorry. They live in like horrible places where there's no baker, like no actual good bakeries. So the only at like Walmart or whatever, the only like bread that you can buy that doesn't have seed oils is the sourdough. So that's why they like it, I think.
I see. Well, I do think sourdough is the most delicious bread, and I would
of course
look, I can't do it. I would if I could.
Is there is there gluten-free sourdough? Can you make like a starter with not gluten?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like I'm not making gluten-free sourdough bread. And if it exists, it almost certainly sucks. Like it's not worth it.
Yeah. Then they talk about her, you know, empty nest syndrome. You know, Moses is going to Brown in the fall. She quotes Jennifer Freed again saying, don't think of it as an empty nest. Think of it as being free birds, blah, blah, blah. And then here's a little breaking news. Her new dream for Goop is a Goop hotel.
Oh,
I feel like we need a Goop hotel more in the city where everything's so hectic and chaotic. The idea that you could come in and after a long flight and have an IV and a cold plunge and all this stuff, I feel like it would be good for urban life.
Oh my God. I think it would be good for urban life too.
I'm not often jealous at the things in Goop that I can't afford. I've just sort of made my peace with it. But if there was like a Goop hotel, I would be extremely jealous that I would not be able to live there.
Me too. I'd be really upset.
It would be really, I mean, I would have a real, crisis of, I don't know. It's going to happen and I have to prepare for it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Then, I mean, I'm not then it's just more business stuff. She talks about turning 40, blah, blah, blah. And then she talks about turning 50. It's like, she's creating this narrative. I guess everyone does that when they're talking about their past. They create their own like narratives of their life. It's just we've heard this so many times.
I agree.
So yeah, when I'm 50, I really don't give a fuck, and I'm happy to be completely in my power, seeing what happens.
Okay.
God bless her.
Enjoy.
All right. What was your worst?
My worst is a personal issue, which is I am going bald.
Oh no.
Hair, it looks the same, but I can feel it. I can feel that it's thinner. Like I can, like when I run my fingers through it, or like when I touch my scalp, it's like it's thinner than it ever has been. And I'm really upset about it. The one good thing is that there was an article on Goop about it this week. I just Googled like Goop hair loss.
Yeah, and it was right in the newsletters this very week.
Yeah. And basically they were like, use Rogaine. So I just bought it. And that's also my thing I would buy and try is like just the Rogaine.
Can you buy Rogaine over the counter, or you have to get a prescription, right?
You can buy it. I just ordered it on Amazon.
Oh, because John gets a prescription for it. I wonder.
Maybe he gets strong higher. This one is like 5%.
Okay.
But it's like I've always had like really, like whenever I've read things about like thinning hair, I've been like, fuck you bitches. Like I have so much long, luxurious hair. And then I know that if things would get really bad, you can start getting like injections in your scalp, which I would get. But hopefully I can turn it around just with the Rogaine. And maybe by eliminating all carbs, I don't know. Balancing my hormones. It's got to be the cortisol. It's got to be stress, you know?
Being in grad school is like you're working hard. You're stressed out. I imagine that is a contributing factor.
I'm going to have to get this stress under control because I cannot be bald.
You will not be bald. I mean, everyone loses a little bit of hair as they age, but I think you're very far from being bald.
I'm not losing any more hair than this. No. I'm getting a Rogaine. I'm fucking getting into, I don't know, Brian, what should I do? Like hot yoga or something?
Is that supposed to be good for your hair?
I'm stressed.
Oh, stress. Well, you know what my answer is going to be.
TM.
TM. TM and I don't care, but any sort of regular exercise. Like it doesn't, whatever you like doing, whatever you, it doesn't feel like a chore. That's the only time, I mean, and I'm, you know, I'm one to talk because for 40 years, I didn't have a regular exercise practice. And now since I've rediscovered tennis, it's like been great for me. So I think everyone just has to find what they are passionate about as far as movement. And do that.
Okay.
That's my, you know, unsolicited advice. TM and movement.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not passionate about movement, but I hear you.
Even if it's like walk, I mean, obviously walking, but you loved those bar classes. Were you passionate about them?
I used to love them, but then I hurt my knee and I can't really do it.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, like, I still go, but it's like I can't do it like with the I can't do it every day like I used
that
to.
That sucks, yeah. Yoga, but that's hard on your knees too, yoga.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But
that, I mean, that's the single best thing I think for stress is just fucking getting your heart rate up.
Thanks, Brian.
Sorry. I mean, I know it sounds so douchey and I'm like,
No, you're right. I should probably get to the gym more. It's just like, you know, I don't.
Because on days where I don't exercise, I literally can barely sleep at night.
Well,
even with my prescription strength sleep medicine, it's a struggle.
You're right. I just like literally start these like gym practices and then my life just gets so hectic because like I don't think I have the like passion for it. Like you love tennis. I just have never, like the only thing I ever really loved was like when I was doing those bar classes, like, and I was like very into it for so many years. And then it was really when I started working and I like couldn't go in the morning and then my whole schedule got fucked up and then my knee got fucked up. Yeah. I mean, it's all excuses. I could definitely make time to go back. But now it's just like, I literally want to kill myself every day.
Yeah.
And I'm so stressed.
Oh. And I mean, the other, having outside accountability for me, like, you know, tennis, I'm scheduling doubles matches. So it's like, if I don't show up, they're screwed. Like, I have to show up or no one can play. So not that it's not a chore. Like, I enjoy it, but it is that outside. Like, I can't one day, if I'm just like, oh, I'm not feeling it, you still have to go. So I wonder if there's, I don't know what an equivalent of that would be, but like that's helpful too. Cause you're just like, it literally is like brushing your teeth. It's like from 6 to 8 Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, I am playing doubles.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I have to just make time. I don't think I'm going to find something like that. I think it's just like, because I don't have like 6 hours a week to be like, to be with these people, but I could just like force myself to like get up an hour early and just like go to the gym.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's like stress is fucking horrible, and it really is like it makes you
you also work 35 hours a week.
I've made choices like where I've sacrificed financial stability for life flexibility. And so it's, you know, everyone has things that they make. And I work from home, so I don't have commuting time. Like, there's a lot of, and I don't have kids. I mean, there's so many things that make my life less stressful than other people's lives. So whatever.
Okay, what's your worst?
My worst was the Mother's Day guide. They didn't put much effort into it. I didn't see, I mean, I get it. It's like Mother's Day is something that most people are like, oh fuck, it's Mother's Day. And then they're just like, they have to like get something. And that was, that seems like the spirit of the Goop guide. But let's see. The one thing I did like was they do on the newsletters, they cordon them off into sections. So like, here's for the traveler, here's for the cook or whatever, like they usually do. But if you actually click through the link, it's literally just, this is a list of 136 things. And like, it's all on one page. Again, Purely Elizabeth. Why are we buying Purely Elizabeth granola on Goop? There's some sort of...
Why do they sell it on Goop?
I mean, it's just some sort of like sponsored content. I guess they... I don't know why. It's fine. Like, it's very like... It's very like middle brow. I don't know. It's like very... I feel like Purely Elizabeth
must be...
I mean, it's good, but it's very like... I think it's like owned... It has to be like owned by Kellogg's or something. It's just like in grocery stores. There's, you know, the Theragun, the Theraface. There's, of course, vibrators for Mother's Day, which, you know, is great. A lot of vacations, stay in Costa Rica, the English countryside, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there's nothing. There was a $287 hat that I guess looks really cool, called the Waverly Hat by Janessa Leone. And then I was trying to figure out stuff to buy for my mom, and my mom like loves Paris. She's like going there again this summer, so I thought I would get her like a something like a Paris themed something. And they do have like a Eiffel Tower like handbag, but it's like $1,100, so that's not happening. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty DTF, I cannot believe they still sell these DTF pills. That is like, should be going the way of the Donabi.
I know. Although I will say, I did once buy my mother a Donabi for Mother's Day, and
she loves it.
So, you know,
I thought you were gonna say you bought your mom the DTF pills.
No, I would rather kill myself than buy her anything remotely close to that.
I did buy my mom either for Christmas or Mother's Day last year the knock me out pills, and she like, because we you know, I have a genetic sleep condition, so she has it too. So we all, you know, we all struggle. But yeah, pretty boring, pretty standard. I think as Goop continues to focus on their own in-house beauty products, the sort of plethora of just like going to the Goop website and having a treasure trove of things to buy, I think the menu is getting smaller and smaller.
I think you might be right about that.
Because they don't make they get like a whatever commission or something, but they can't make real money just buying other people's products. So, all right. What was your craziest or your saddest?
My craziest and sad were just like also just like a few things that I selected. Although I don't really think that these things are actually crazy. I think that they're just like Goop crazy. For example, okay. The wellness loaf from Oat Bakery, like, is a wellness loaf crazy? It's just a grain-free bread mix, which is fine. There's just something about seeing this on a list of Mother's Day gifts. This is like next to the $2,600 Tracy Anderson like home workout kit that like, you know, that like S&M looking like home workout
yes.
kit that Anderson has. And then like right next to it, it's like, or this wellness loaf, which is just like a bunch of nuts together. Yeah.
I mean, these are things, it's just, you're filling out your shopping basket to get the free shipping basically
at this point. But then there's also someone called the Foot Nanny, which What's is $100. And like, this is a woman who will like sell, well, I guess it's a $600 kit of like foot stuff. Okay. I don't understand how they got to $600. I don't really understand. Restorative pedicures. Oh, is this to like actually go get a pedicure from this woman? Is this a $600 pedicure?
It must be. It's probably maybe a pedicure and some products.
Okay, they sell a kit. What is this?
Foot Nanny, turn down at home. Gloria Williams's restorative pedicures and foot. Yeah, it has to be. So you were actually going, or she comes to your house, maybe.
Okay, so if the actual pedicures are not that expensive, the most expensive one is $225. That's more than I've ever paid for a pedicure, but it doesn't seem like outside the realm of possibility. What is the kit? The kit is $66. So what costs $600?
And I'm going to her website and it seems, not sorry to be snobby, but it seems like it's targeting a little more down market audience. Like, it says, as seen on Good Morning America, Hallmark Channel, Home Shopping Network, Jimmy Kimmel, Oprah, and Dr. Oz. And then the design of the products look a little drugstore-y too. Yeah, I don't know how this thing is $600 on Goop.
I don't either.
Unless it's like a 10-pack of pedicures.
I don't get it. Yeah, it's like, I don't, and because when you click on it, it doesn't go through to like a thing on Goop. It just goes to like her website.
It might be a misprint on the Goop website and they meant to say $66 or $60 instead of $600. I don't know.
I don't know. None of these numbers are not adding up. If anybody knows why it costs $600, let us know.
Oh, they got peptides now, though. Yeah, even the peptide trio is $229, or maybe it's just like one. It's like a huge basket with all the different products. I guess that's the only thing I can think of.
Okay, what was yours?
Okay, so this is my craziest. Is an update. It doesn't have anything to do with Goop, but indulge me. It's an update on the wine and egg situation.
Oh, yeah. I saw you posted about that.
So I just opened Instagram and there was, you know, when like someone has posted like 55 stories. So it's just like dots and you know that they're like going through it. So poor Monica. And then I got a follow up email this morning from Monica from Wine and Eggs. This was something I talked about on the non-Patreon one, so people know what I'm talking about, right? I think so.
I don't know.
Anyway, for a quick update, if you didn't listen to a couple weeks ago, Wine and Eggs is a local store here in Atwater Village. They sell, you know, little small batch products, and they're experiencing some economic struggles in the last several months. So Monica is the owner of Wine and Eggs, and she shares a lot of her emotions and her issues online with the public. And so she sent all of us an email this morning. Hi there, Monica here. We, quote unquote, Wine and Eggs need your help. To be frank, I'm drowning in debt and in a state of debilitating anxiety with no other option but to ask my community for assistance. I have borrowed money from dear friends, worked until completely burnt out, slept on the floor of my shops, gone without food, missed time with my family, and taken out cash advances. These are horrible loans that are predatory and crushing. If you have come into any of our shops and felt the love we have poured into every inch of our spaces, I'm asking for your help now. If you have been inspired, found a brand that you love, or felt a connection or joy that Wine and Eggs brings, I beg, if you have the resources to help lighten this load, please do. Your support will allow us to do right to the makers. I think she's in over her head. I think she owes money to like the mafia. Your support will allow us to do right to the makers that you know we support, continue to be a place of community. Place of community. When I walk in that store, those fucking 20 something hipsters that work there don't even look up from their phone to say hi.
Oh yeah. Like I don't know. I guess I don't think I've actually ever set foot.
And champion those who are creating magic for us to enjoy in our lives. Thank you for your kindness in this time. It means more than ever you'll ever know. And then she links to her GoFundMe. So they're basically doing like a PBS style pledge drive, where you can donate money and then you get like thank you gifts. And so if everyone, you guys have to like go to Instagram within the next, let's say, 6 hours, or it'll all be deleted. But some of the thank you gifts that they have are, there's a lamp that looks like a sunny side egg that you get if you donate $500. Then there's like different artworks. There's like non-alcoholic spirits. There's of course chili crisp, jigsaw puzzles, a 5-pound bag of coffee, someone's debut novel called A Place to Bury Strangers. We're scrolling. Then we do, if you spend, let's see, suggested donation of $195, you get a tarot reading by a non-binary queer healer named Brandon Alter, they, them. Sorry, if you're Brandon, you need to change your name if you're they, them.
I agree. And
it can't be Brandon. Brandon Alter, they, them, is a queer healer, tarot reader, astrologer, mystic, and writer living in Los Angeles. I think he moved to Los Angeles to make money as a writer and then slowly and became the other things, but who am I to judge?
I mean, that's kind of the way it seems to go.
They are passionate about sharing spiritual tools that have helped them reconnect to the wisdom of their heart. Brandon is a thoroughly trained healer and teacher who co-hosts The Spiritual Gaze with their husband, a twice monthly podcast dedicated to exploring the wide reaches of spirituality without pretending that it all makes sense. Brandon writes monthly taroscopes that slay for Queerty, which is like a gay, I didn't know it still existed, honestly, gay publication, and has been featured with Angel providing monthly astrology forecasts for the Today Show online. Okay. Brandon's mom took them to their very first psychic when they were 7 and gave them their first tarot deck when they were 11. Since Brandon has devoted themselves to the study of tarot, yoga, Pilates, Reiki, astrology, and the myriad ways one can work and heal with the help of the spirits. And then a bunch of t-shirts. So this is where we're at. I have a feeling, unfortunately, Wine and Eggs is not long for this world, and we all have to deal with it.
Well, I'm sorry, Brian. I know it was a special place for you.
It was really special when it opened. And then now it's like, you know, it's barely stocked. I know Monica's been through a lot. And you know, being a small business owner is hard, but it is sort of weird at a time when, you know, there's like wars going on, like people are raising money for, you know, Gaza and stuff. And then she is doing this.
And she's GoFundMe. Like, my wine and egg store.
My wine and egg store needs your help. Seems a little tone deaf.
It's like a hard business for me to kind of have sympathy for, because it's like it's so unnecessary.
Yeah. And it's so like,
it's like it would classist and elitist, like on its face, like by definition.
Yeah. It's so privileged to even be able to spend any money at this store. Like if it's like really a calling for you, and I get it that, you know, people in Atwater Village deserve shoppy shops too, but like go open a grocery store in an underserved neighborhood that doesn't have access to like fresh produce. I mean, that's even harder to make money that way, I'm sure. So I don't know that any of these are sustainable businesses, but yeah, it's like, it is weird to frame it as I have gone without food. I'm sleeping on the floor. I can't see my kids, all because I want the residents of Atwater Village to be able to buy a $55 bottle of natural wine.
Exactly. Who has time?
God bless. All right. Wow. So that was my craziest. And so you would try Rogaine.
I would try Rogaine for women, but also, did you see that, like, if you order a salad from Goop, they have like a special green salad, and for each one ordered they plant 7 flowers?
I thought that was cute. Yeah, for Earth Day.
Okay. If I was in LA, I guess I would try that. Oh, today's the last day, so do it.
We better do it quick. And it's not they're actually physically planting 7 flowers. It's like they're donating the money that's the equivalent of planting 7 flowers.
Well, their goal is to plant 4,500 flowers.
To save the beautiful Santa Monica Mountains. I agree.
Love it.
I love these mountains. I hike in them weekly. And I'm glad that there's flowers there.
In the Santa Monica Mountains?
Well, the Griffith Park is the end of the Santa Monica Mountains.
Oh, because it's all one range.
It's all one range.
Yeah.
Order the greenest green salad. And so, yeah, 100% of the proceeds. So this is... this salad is, I think it's vegan. It does seem a little light for an entree, but I'm sure it's tasty.
I'm sure it's fine.
You get those chickpea crunchies.
They're good, I'm sure.
So yeah, my try comes from, they just rehash a bunch of these high protein recipes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. A couple of them that did look good that I'm like, lunch is always my bugaboo. I always get sick of whatever I'm making for lunch, so I always need to switch it up. This one is a warm, nutty superfood salad that you're doing black-eyed peas and quinoa, and then a bunch of nuts and veggies, and then you're making a soy ginger dressing. But again, like we said earlier, we could probably buy a soy ginger dressing if we don't feel like making it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I would try is these cacao cashew chews. I spend way too much money on protein bars. Like I eat one basically before I play tennis every time. So that ends up being like 4 a week. And even at Costco, I should just be eating like nuts and like a date or something, because it's too expensive to just eat protein bars every day. So this is, you're just doing dates, raw cashews, coconut flakes, coconut butter, and cacao powder, and then baking. Wait, you don't even bake. It's no bake. You're just refrigerating for 20 minutes. So yeah.
That sounds good.
Except I love dates, but each one has like, it's like 17 grams of sugar in each date. It's so much.
You gotta watch that sugar.
I allow myself one date, but if I even want two, it's like that glucose goddess is going to be knocking at my door.
Yeah, she's not going to be happy with you.
So to buy again Rogaine?
No, I have. Yeah, let's just say Rogaine.
You didn't have a. There was something else you wanted to get off your chest?
No. Rogaine.
I'll just plug. I'll just plug something from Goop again. I'm not going to buy this, but they're launching another new product, the Goop Beauty Summer Tone Bronzing Gel for $38. We just got an email to be on their... Yeah, I just got an email this morning. I think it's new. It says, here at Goop, we're known, at least in part, for glow, the kind that comes from taking incredible care of your skin. And our new Summer Tone Bronzing Gel does just that. It boosts your skin with antioxidants and hydration, and it delivers the most natural-looking sun-kissed glow, says Gwyneth. The shimmerless color works on multiple skin tones, builds easily from sheer to deep, lasts all day, and washes off in seconds. It's magic, and we'd love you to be the first to try. XO Goop. I'm not a bronzer. I feel like in the summertime, I'm outside enough to get like a natural healthy glow. I don't know. It's not something that I ever am like, oh, I'm too pale. What about you?
Not really. I mean, I used to like go to tanning beds and stuff when I was in my 20s, but I think that was mostly just because I lived in Chicago and I was in a depression and like I just wanted the UV and I didn't care how
yeah, yeah.
it was for me. And I've used self tanner a little bit here and there, but it just seems so not worth it because if you fuck it up, it looks so bad.
And you get shit on your like couch and clothes.
Yeah. And you end up like, you need to have like a special pair of like sheets and pajamas that like have be stained permanently. And you know, the spray tan, I don't really know. I've never had like a professional spray tan. It just feels like the whole thing is just kind of like not a huge issue. I don't know. I do like having a nice healthy tan, but I don't try to get one.
Yeah, I feel like if I was someone who went to a lot of like events or was like photographed a lot as a celebrity, I could see wanting to do a spray tan or all that stuff before the event, but that's the only, like, in real life, yeah, it's just not a concern. So I guess that means I will not be buying it, but I just wanted to talk about, you know, the new Goop Beauty product.
It's interesting. It's interesting that it exists.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, the price point is inexpensive for Goop. I mean, I guess that makes like bronzing gel, but maybe that means, I don't know. I also feel like stylistically, like the aesthetics of like super tanned people have not been really like fashionable in the past decade or so. So maybe since we're going back to like all the early 2000s, like low rise jean stuff, maybe we're also going back to like a, you know, Christina Aguilera tan.
Sorry, Brian's getting a work call and it's like so loud. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like there's always been, I feel like the self tan has not gone away.
It's a evergreen. Yeah, maybe. Maybe I just don't pay attention to it.
I mean, I feel like people like Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are self tanners.
Well, Kim is interesting because I feel like she spent so much time and money trying to look less quote unquote ethnic. But then she also spent so much time and money trying to look more ethnic in a different sense of the word. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that there are people, well, what the worst offender is,
Ariana Grande. But she's like completely gone the other direction. Now she's like super pale and blonde.
She is. I mean, I haven't been paying attention to her.
Her like latest album rollout. You know my rule. I don't comment on women's bodies, but
yes, you do.
She looks so skinny. It's like, I mean, it's truly frail. Please get some.
Oh powers. Yeah, no, I have seen her new weird look. She does look so strange,
and she's doing like a baby voice. It's very like Carrie Strug, like adult, like sexual assault victim. I don't know, it's really crazy, her style.
Yeah, it's odd. I don't know, whatever. I don't understand people love to like break out something crazy to prove that they can. I don't really understand it.
Yeah. But yeah, that sort of, I guess it's what you call it, blackfishing. Like when you're, so you're not actually doing blackface, but you're like sort of appropriating certain, sort of like a aunt, what's her name? Anne Lamott, the author we talked
exactly.
about last week.
Yeah. The author with the, well, Prince. I don't know if that's what she's doing, but she does have dreadlocks.
Yeah. So, I mean, for all of our, you know, white listeners out there, if you do use self-tanner, just be careful on the shade that it ends up being.
Yes. Sorry. There's like some, there are like 1,000 phones ringing in my apartment.
Right. And you're the head of the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah. It's like so busy.
So maybe we should end the call then.
Yeah. I'm sorry if you can hear like many like rings.
I can't hear a damn thing.
Okay. That's good. It sounds like a Skype. I don't know what's going on. It's Brian. Something's going on.
It's an emergency. A work emergency. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. We love you. We'll see you next week. Patreon.
Yeah, next week Patreon. So yeah, if you want you know, double the pods, double the fun, you know where to go. Patreon.com/scoopyourself. We haven't had too many new patrons in the last month or two, so let's get a few new ones. Can we ask?
Why not? Okay. Thank you so much for listening. Join the Patreon and we'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.